Cash-proof prosperity, becoming wealthy in the age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
One of the authors of the new GOP health care bill says he believes Republicans will end up getting the votes needed to pass it within the next few days. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham saying that on ABC's This Week. The Graham bill would repeal Obamacare, replacing it with block grants to states. Some Republicans have voiced opposition, though, including Senate Republican Rand Paul of Kentucky.
The Graham-Cassidy bill basically keeps most of the Obamacare spending almost.
It's raising its hourly minimum wage to $11 an hour beginning next month. The wage increase will apply to the 100,000 seasonal workers that Target is planning to hire this year. Meanwhile, Walmart is testing out a delivery program that lets customers use smart home technology to remotely open the door for delivery workers. Customers can then link their phones to their home security cameras and watch a live stream of someone else putting away their groceries. They're testing this in the Silicon Valley. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat,
did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com outside our studio. Sunny, high near 89. Well on its way there right now. It's getting warm out there. Patchy fog tonight after 5 in the morning. Otherwise, increasing clouds, low around 63. Looks like foggy again in the morning Tuesday. Otherwise, sunny, high in the mid-80s. Slight chance of showers Tuesday night, low in the 60s. Wednesday, slight chance of showers, maybe 20%, high in the 80s. And again on the overnight, low in the 60s, slight chance of showers. Clearing up on Thursday, high in the upper 70s, low down in the 50s. And again Friday, sunny with a high in the 70s. Saturday looks like rain on its way again, but who knows? And then Sunday's clear. So that's it there. Long range forecast. Let's stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow. I've been at the Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington for over 26 years. We get together on Mondays or any day through podcast or archives or rewind to talk about food, beverages. We'll have occasionally a guest, another couple of weeks. Pete from the Spice Company will be here with us. We'll probably get into the fall, the warm spices, I guess we call them, and see what happens. Pete always brings good background on the nice spices and how to use them, keep them fresh, how to store them, and we'll come up with a couple of recipes also. Kind of thought this week, back into busy schedules, trying to figure out what to have for dinner. If you're cooking at home, obviously, if you're rushing to get there and with after-school activities, if you have kids or even just a working couple getting home at the same time. I know these meal kits are getting big out there, home delivery of food. Everybody's looking for time, right? We need to save time. And I've always said with a little bit of planning and proper shopping, you can have ingredients on hand. And with technique, obviously recipes count, but it's more really about technique and remembering proportions, things like that that will get you through. It's just sometimes you want to do a recipe, but the product's not available, or you have the product and you don't know what to do with it. So we're going to explore a very simple method that you know, we've been running on menus for years. It's a staff favorite. Good catering favorite, good for serving a lot of people. And it's alla francese, or in Italian restaurants, francese, F-R-A-N-C-E-S-E. You might see it spelled that way. And I always wonder where this came from when I was learning the classics. It was never really a classical sauce per se. There is a classical garnish, the francese. And the way we make it in restaurants, of course, it's very quick. It's simple. Although, I know when I first had to write out a recipe for it, even though there's only a handful of ingredients, there's a lot of technique involved, especially if you're fabricating your own proteins to use in the main event. It made me realize when you're writing a recipe how specific to be on certain things. This dish involves temperature control. It's obviously last-minute cooking. You can make a little bit ahead. Very simple sauce that does have to be made at the last minute. So where did it come from? Francais. We see it on all the menus everywhere. Again, we put it was such a requested dish at Jake's, we actually put that option on the menu. We've always done flounder that way, or fish, thin slices of fish. Very, very nice preparation for that. But classically, the Francais garnish, according to Larousse Gastronomique, in the French Encyclopedia on Food, it's a garnish to serve with roasts. And it would be asparagus tips, some braised lettuce, cauliflower florets coated with hollandaise sauce, small Duchess potato nests filled with diced mixed vegetables. That sounds a little complicated. Far cry from the simple dish it's become. But we can kind of trace the origins of it also this way. Now, peas a la Francais, the one dish I will see in the encyclopedia, and you may have seen these recipes, it's peas with braised lettuce. And probably the lettuce used is not going to be iceberg. I guess if you had a baby iceberg, you could use it. Probably romaine or maybe a small butter lettuce. Romaine would probably be a good one for that. And then small whole onions. The lettuce is shredded. The onions and lettuce are braised with the peas. A little bit of butter and parsley and chervil, if you like. But we'd cook the peas, this vegetable mixture in water, and then swirl in some whole butter at the end to kind of make a sauce. And I could see, all right, the peas and pearl onions, we see that vegetable mixture all the time in the freezers, right? Peas and pearl onions, we serve it at Thanksgiving or holidays. It's relatively easy, but it's nice. It's got color contrast. So that probably came out of the peas francais. And, of course, the Duchess potatoes are a potato puree, mashed potatoes, if you will. You can run them through the ricer so they're nice and smooth. But mix the potato puree with egg yolk and then season it. And sometimes, I mean, years ago, we used to make stuffed baked potatoes with this mixture. Scoop out the potatoes, puree the insides, and pipe them back in. You could put a little cheese if you like, but you get a nice decorative look. It's like a rich, very rich mashed potato. But you can bake it, even if you're not stuffing it back in the potato. You can pipe it onto a cookie sheet or a baking pan and bake it, and they'll become slightly brown. They're easy to scoop up and serve. Can also be chilled and then shaped later. So that's how you'd make these potato nests for the classic Francais garnish. You'd make a little barquette or a little cup, if you will, and you would either fry or bake these. You can fry this mixture also, make little smooth tater tots if you like, and that would be part of this Francais garnish. So, and I've always believed that it's one of those dishes that restaurants created, which is, as far as I could find out, that's kind of true. Italian-American restaurants came up with it, and it would be something French. One source says that developed around Rochester, of course, New York City, with many Italian immigrants opening restaurants. French style was probably, okay, the French do this with food. They dip it in egg, and so we're going to call anything done that way Francais. Just like French restaurants, even in La Rousse, anything Florentine has to do with spinach, which is kind of shortchanging the Florentine cuisine, which is much more rich and complicated and delicious than just spinach. So, and we tend to do this with other cuisines. We take something and kind of generalize, and you know, if something's called Japanese or like curry. Curry is so unique and individual, but we have this yellow powder called curry powder, which is really not, you know, it's far cry from the nice garam masala that people would make in their homes. And I'm thinking maybe from French toast, which in France, pain perdu, the forgotten bread or the day-old bread that's soaked in milk and then dipped in egg batter, and that makes sense. Of course, we sweeten it, but you don't have to if you don't want it too sweet. But French toast maybe was why these restaurateurs thought of something that would be French, is dipped in egg. Although, and speaking of the Florentines, Florentine cooking, centuries ago, there was a fried course. There was a fried course, a boiled course. You know, there was dessert or fruit afterwards, antipasti in the beginning. And the fried course, actually found a couple of recipes, calf brains that were poached and pressed and chilled, and then those would be dipped in flour and egg batter and served as part of the fried course. Artichokes, and this would probably be a good way to experiment with this recipe if you haven't made it before, or this technique, is you could use canned or frozen artichoke hearts. If you're preparing your own, of course, a little bit more work. You can poach them and scoop out the choke and slice them if you wish, but the canned ones actually for this dish work fine. It's a nice appetizer or even a side dish, something to experiment with, but artichoke hearts, probably that would be kind of the origin in the Italian restaurants, and also from regions in Italy. Something would be called indorato, or gilded. It means covered with gold. And, of course, the nice golden color of beaten egg when it's browned in olive oil or butter certainly gives that appearance on the food. Italians are very romantic about how they name their food. So we're going to break for a couple of messages, and then when we come back, we'll start thinking how to make Francais chicken. Fish, veal, vegetables, but a nice quick crowd pleaser for dinner. We can also make it gluten-free. We could make it dairy-free. Many options on it. So we'll be back at the table and go over the Francais.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambies, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Table here at Chef Bill's Table. We're going to talk about how we make anything Francais, right? Gives you one technique. You can kind of vary your proteins or vegetables once you learn how to do this. It's pretty quick, and you don't need a lot of ingredients. Of course, your side dishes might take a little bit longer, but as far as cooking the main event, it's not too much. You just need some flour. And if you want to do this gluten-free, we've used cornstarch. We do it in the restaurant. If somebody says someone, you know, chicken francais gluten-free, then we will dredge it in seasoned cornstarch. Or you could use masa if you like. The cornstarch is nice. It kind of gives it a nice little different coating than using flour. So you need flour. You need a couple of fresh eggs. You'll need lemon juice, chopped parsley, fresh parsley. You don't really need onions or garlic or anything. This is a very simple sauce. You see sometimes additions, and you could vary the sauce a little bit once you get comfortable with it, but let's just keep it straight right now. So we have the flour, egg, lemon, parsley, whole butter, and we like to use unsalted. And you'll need some kind of broth. And if it's chicken, obviously chicken broth. If you're doing veal or pork, probably that's what you'd have. In the restaurant, of course, if we did veal or pork, we would use veal stock. But that's another issue. That's something that restaurants are lucky. We have the time and the space to make these things all the time. And with seafood, you really don't need any broth at all. And if the sauce actually... A little bit of water won't hurt sometimes at the end with the sauce, but when we get to that point, we'll let you know. So the product that you're going to use, as I said, I would say start with the canned artichoke hearts, or even some nice, of course, this time of year, sliced zucchini. You could also do it with that. I would slice it on an angle, crosswise, so you get some nice larger pieces, maybe ovals instead of just circles. This is a quick cooking. You'll need either some kind of oil, vegetable oil, olive oil would be fine, canola oil, clarified butter. Again, in the restaurant, we have clarified butter, and for many of these, we will use that. It kind of browns the egg a little bit better, and of course, it's flavor. The butter kind of browns a little bit. It gives it a nice toasty flavor. That olive oil would probably be my second choice because it's got some flavor. So we're using thin cuts, let's say if it's chicken. Now, we've gone through in previous casts about a paillard, which would be a thin piece that's grilled, scallopini, which would be thin pieces that are just floured and sautéed, and, of course, the schnitzels that we're doing now, Oktoberfest, is flour, egg, and breadcrumbs. And there's also a double dusting technique, flour, egg, and then back into flour again, often used again for fried chicken, chicken fried steak, if you think of those kind of items. So this is not going to have that flour or breadcrumb coating that absorbs a lot of oil. It's going to be beaten egg, which is kind of repelling the oil. When you're done sautéing, you should still have some oil or butter in the pan. It should not be all absorbed into the food. It's just going to kind of cook the food. So from that aspect, of course, we're going to make a butter sauce anyway, but it's a different coating. Now, some restaurants will put Parmesan cheese in there. I say if you want some Parmesan, you could put it at the end. The cheese doesn't really dissolve in there. It kind of floats. If you season your flour, you really don't need to season the egg batter. Make sure it's just beaten egg also. You don't want to add milk. This is not an egg wash. You really need that strong protein of the egg whites in there. So we have our product, thinly sliced, or in the case of artichoke hearts, we could quarter them or cut them in half, the small ones, but probably quarters is nice. And you're going to need a good 10 or 12-inch skillet. Now, if you're making, say, chicken or maybe any flounder, fish, let's say, these are dishes that you can't cook four portions in one big pan unless you have a huge pan. We have large ones at the restaurant. We do it for catering. You can put, you know, maybe a dozen chicken cutlets in there, but you'll probably be able to do two or possibly three cutlets in a 10-inch pan, depending on the size, if they're, you know, 4 ounces. If you're using larger ones, you may only be able to do two, which is fine. You're going to brown the product, cook it 90% of the way, and then put it on paper towel, and you could keep an oven at 200 degrees to keep them warm. Or what we'll do with large amounts is bake them in the oven, spread them out on a pan, not with a paper towel, obviously, and finish them in a 400-degree oven. Let them cook the rest of the way. Then we can make our sauce and then combine when we're ready. Artichokes, let's start very simply. We have our seasoned flour. We have a beaten egg. Have your lemon juice and a little bit of broth ready. Some whole butter cut into chunks. And your cooking medium, again, if you have clarified butter, that's fine. We'll start this probably with olive oil. Let's go easy, right? So when we're heating oil for this, I always like to heat the pan first. You don't really need a nonstick pan for this. In fact, you probably get better browning when it's not a nonstick pan. But when you're heating a pan with oil in it, really don't like to do that. We like to heat the pan first and then put in the oil, and if water sizzles in it, or even take a little droplet of the egg and see if it sizzles, then it's hot enough. If it's too hot, if it smokes right away when you put the oil in it, dump the oil out into a container, and off the heat, I would add some more fresh oil that's going to cool it down a few degrees. You don't want it smoking hot. You don't really want to burn the product. You want it just a nice golden brown. So from this point, technique is the important thing. This is why you have your parsley, your lemon, you have everything ready too, because the cooking is relatively quickly. So if we're doing artichoke hearts, so in the seasoned flour, go the artichoke hearts, and then into the egg batter, and then we use tongs. Of course, your oil is hot in the pan, and we take them one by one, let the excess egg drain off, and start adding them to the hot oil. And again, just like frying any other technique like this, you don't want to crowd the pan. You don't want to put too much product in there. It's going to cool down the oil too much. So we have it over medium to medium-high heat. And artichoke hearts are simple because they're already cooked. This is why I'm saying if you want to, you know, get a technique down, let's use something that's pretty simple. You'll turn them over one by one and brown the other side. And when both sides are browned, you will just put them on a plate. If you're just making a couple of orders, put them right on your service plate. And now with the oil that's in the pan, we're going to discard that. Might have some bits of egg floating around in it. We pour that off. And then we have some white wine, which would be a nice addition, or dry vermouth. That would be another ingredient to have on hand. I think I neglected to mention that. You could make it without wine, but wine really adds that better flavor to it. I would not use the cooking wine that's all salted up. Between that and the broth, it's going to be too much salt. So we're doing what we call deglazing the pan. The white wine goes in, an ounce or two, depending on how many portions you've got. We use about an ounce for each portion. We'll put in a little squeeze of lemon juice, and this mixture will start to boil. You could put a little chicken broth in also for some flavor. You're going to let that reduce a little bit. By reduce, we mean you're boiling off the water. The alcohol is coming off the wine. And as it gets down to about halfway, then we swirl in the whole butter bits. Now, ideally, if you don't boil that sauce, it'll be somewhat creamy. It creates kind of a temporary emulsion between the butter fat. You've got the acid in the wine and the strength of the chicken broth. You should make a nice creamy sauce. If it doesn't come out that way, it's still going to taste good. If it gets kind of clear on you, you can always splash in a little bit of water. That should bring it back. If you're not using butter, if you're doing it dairy-free, then I would just add some fresh olive oil. You're not really going to get an emulsion. If you want a thickened sauce, you can always take a little cornstarch and water and make a slurry and add a few drops of that. If you want to thicken it. You want the sauce to not be heavy like a gravy. You just want it to be a nice sauce. And then you pour the sauce over and serve. You've got your chopped parsley in there. Again, seasoning the flour is important because you won't have to season the egg batter. So there should be enough salt. We use our own Cajun mix to season flour. It's got a little cayenne, onion, and garlic powder in it. Salt and pepper, so that's kind of an all-purpose seasoning. It's not so much for heat. Paprika is always good in the flour. That sweet pepper gives it a nice flavor. And so there you go. You've got artichoke hearts. Again, you don't have to worry about cooking them more. They're already cooked, nice and brown, and like lemon and artichoke, perfect marriage. And you could have this as a side dish or an appetizer. When we come back, we're going to look at a couple of other ways to use other proteins to make some dishes based on a la Francaise, Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The travel ban's expanding. President Trump adding three countries to the new travel ban. We get the update from correspondent Joe Gomez.
The executive order President Trump issued adds North Korea, Venezuela, and Chad to five mostly Muslim nations covered by an order that was about to expire. Countries still restricted are Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. Sudan was taken away from the new list. The new executive order includes specific and varying degrees of restrictions for people from each country.
President Trump again blasting NFL players for kneeling during the national anthem in a series of tweets this morning. He says the NFL must respect the flag and the anthem, and he says the issue of kneeling has nothing to do with race, but it's about respect for the nation. Many NFL teams have issued statements condemning the president's remarks. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Ernie Brown. I'm going to admit something to you. I've had the same pillow on my bed since, the Reagan administration. You know, you get used to your pillow, but I'm having more neck issues lately, and finally I was able to put two and two together, and Old Faithful's now history. And I replaced it with MyPillow.com. Well, not the entire company, but their 100% machine washable and dryable pillow, which comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's very comfortable, and it's very cool at night. Here's what it did for me. I awoke the first morning, went through the usual stretching process like I'd done for years, and realized, hey, I don't have a stiff neck, thanks to MyPillow.com. Now, here's what I'd like you to do for your own great night's sleep. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, enter the promo code USA, and now you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Here's a number to call, 800-951-8175, or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA.
Back at the table here. So you have your artichokes done. So now the next thing we're going to tackle, the veal francais, done for years in Italian restaurants. We developed one when I was up at Mirror Lake, and a good recipe for it with my sous chef. He was Italian man. He had a nice way of doing veal francais. Normally, you see this... just a light lemon sauce, chicken, flounder, you know, whatever product you're using. But with the veal, we made it a little bit differently, and it's probably, I think it's still served that way at Giovanna's in Plainfield, which I helped open up back in the 80s. I think it's, you know, a little bit nicer. You do need some veal stock for it. You could use chicken broth or something like that if you like. But anyway. We did our veal scallopinis, which are your thin slices from the leg. They have to be flattened out and use a meat mallet or the meat tenderizer. You don't need to break it up like a cutlet. You don't need the bumpy side. You just need the smooth side. Now, if you're not into veal or, you know, veal's expensive also, pork tenderloin is a great substitute. You need something that's lean and doesn't have too much water content in it either. So pork tenderloins are good. If you don't want to use the veal's nice, it's delicate. I know in the 80s I was able to get wild sturgeon, and that was just whenever I could get sturgeon, I would have it on special, and it was kind of, we got a nice review about that, by the way, but we'd call sturgeon veal of the sea, and in that case I would treat it like the fish. I did not use the stock or the mushrooms or scallions, but simply slice the sturgeon into thin pieces and egg batter it and lemon, and it had the texture of meat because, you know, it's a game fish, strong fish, lean but pretty muscular. But cutting it thin like that, you know, kind of done mako shark, same thing, nice and lean, but takes well to this treatment. But anyway, with the veal or pork tenderloins, you're going to take off the silver skin and cut medallions. Now, what I would do is cut thick medallions and then butterfly them, which means cut almost all the way through, open them up, and those would be flattened out again, not for tenderness, but for shape. You want something thin and so it cooks evenly and quickly. So for this, we need some sliced mushrooms, some chopped scallions, the white and green part. We're doing parsley, but also a little bit of oregano and or dried basil. We're going to season the veal when it's cooking. You'll need your white wine. And again, Chardonnay is good. Pinot Grigio works fine. I would not use Sauvignon Blancs. A lot of them a little bit too grapefruity. And you don't want anything too sweet. So dry white wine, your lemon juice, your broth, and your butter. And for this one, we used to present it on dark romaine leaf. We would take the rib out, not the extreme outside, but the darker, nice dark green romaine leaves would be on the plate. And when you put the meat in the sauce, of course, it would kind of par cook the romaine. Spinach would be fine if you wanted to just use spinach leaves, or even use steamed or sautéed spinach as a side dish. In fact, in the restaurant, that's commonly what we serve with the Francais, is the sautéed spinach. That lemon, again, it goes very well together. So we have our oil or clarified butter to cook in. We have our beaten egg, our seasoned flour, and we have our scallopini. And you'll need, a sheet pan or a cookie sheet, something, or a plate to... You're going to fry these scallopinis a few at a time. You're not going to be able to do everything at once. So you get your oil hot to where the egg sizzles in it. You dip your veal or your pork into the seasoned flour and into the beaten egg, and then piece by piece into the hot oil. Now, once you have a few pieces in there, that's when I would sprinkle on a little bit of chopped parsley and oregano or basil or both, or you could make your own little Italian herb mix, but just a little bit on the face-up side of the scallopini, so it kind of gets into the batter there. And I'm not seasoning the egg wash with that per se. I just want to season each piece with these herbs. So when the side is brown, you turn it over, and then you start to smell the aromas of those herbs cooking. And you repeat this until you have all your meat cooked. It's either draining on paper towel or set aside on a plate. Don't stack it up. You don't want to kill the coating there. Now, with that little bit of oil that's left in the pan, now, in this case, we're not going to dump it. We're going to saute our mushrooms and scallions just until they're cooked. I like scallions for this because you've got a little green color, you've got a very mild onion flavor, and they do cook pretty quickly. Shallots would be an okay substitute, but I really like that appearance of the scallions. So you've got your mushrooms and scallions, you're sauteing those, and when they're cooked, then you're going to add your white wine and your lemon and a little bit of broth and let that cook down, and then finish with your whole butter. Again, the sauce should be not thick like a gravy, but it should be a little bit of a little bit of substance to it, not creamy. You don't really need cream in this, although some recipes people might have a tendency to do that. But butter is cream anyway. If you're using nice whole unsalted butter, there's enough milk solids in there to help emulsify this sauce. So then to serve, again, on your romaine or spinach leaves, you just lay out the scallopini and pour the sauce over top, and you've got a nice veal or pork francais that is, you won't see it in too many places done like this, but add to it, it's just something a little bit more than just the lemon sauce. So now we're doing chicken, and with the chicken now, if you want to do these mushrooms and scallions with the chicken, by all means do it. I've traditionally not, that's kind of where I separate the two, the chicken francais, and you might even see this in old school Italian restaurants called Indorato, Indorato, which means gilded in Italian. So chicken Indorato, if you see that, would probably be something like a francais in the egg batter. When you're doing the chicken, now here's where you may need to finish cooking in the oven. You've got thin cutlets. Sometimes you can buy them in the store that way, already cut very thin. Or if they're not thin, you could do one of two things. You could use the meat mallet and flatten them out. I like to work with the knife. I'd rather butterfly them and then kind of shape them, you know, get the uniform thickness. A lot less messy. You don't want chicken juice splattering all over. Make sure you cover with plastic or use a slip it inside a freezer bag or something so you don't have the big mess. But if you butterfly, you'll see a chicken cutlet or a chicken breast. Normally there's a thin and a thick part. If you just cut through the thick part, open it up like you're opening a book, and then flatten it and shape it. Don't worry about if it's a little bit irregular. It doesn't have to look perfect. It's going to, you want to achieve that uniform thickness so you can cook better, right? Cook more consistently. So with the chicken, again, like the artichokes, your hot oil, and you make your sauce with the reduction in the whole butter. Again, if you like the mushrooms and scallions, use it. But the chicken would really be probably the simplest, the one that kids, everybody likes it, right? If, in fact, for this, again, if you wanted to use it in other dishes, in a casserole, and especially if you need gluten-free, do the dip with in the cornstarch and then the egg, you've got a nice coated chicken that you can still put other sauces with, put other vegetables with, and go from there. Now with seafood, which of course the flounder has been on often on the menu, but on special, it's been at Jake's for, well, almost since we opened, I think. It's one of, if we don't have it, people call up and ask for it. They come in, oh, you got, you know, what do you have? I need something francais, the fish. Shrimp is always an option. Flounder is great, or sole fillets if you have them. Any thin, white, lean fish. Monkfish, I like to use now. It's local, comes in on the scallop boats there. It's got good texture to it. We cut medallions. I said mako shark. I had somebody ask for scallops francais. That's a little strange. Scallops can be a little, well, not really wet, but it's they're thick. You have to really... even though you don't have to cook scallops that much, it's the egg batter doesn't stick to them as well. Haddock is fine for this, and I said sturgeon. Of course, I don't know if there's any wild sturgeon out there now. But with the fish, relatively easy. Again, the thin pieces, brown the fish, and that does not have to be finished in the oven. They're usually, the monkfish you might want to, a little depending on how thick you cut it, but... your fillet fish will cook right in the pan. Take it out of the pan, make the sauce. It's got, you've got, you know, you've got your protein cooked in 5 minutes, 6 minutes. You know, it's, who could ask for better than that? And you're going to taste your main product too. It's not hidden too much, right, by a thick coating. But if you're doing shrimp, which people seem to enjoy, you know, shrimp curl up when they cook. So for me, I like to do a technique called butterflying, but I also incorporate what the Japanese would do for a shrimp ebi, that keeps the shrimp straight. You score the underside. So the shrimp, the top part, after you've taken out the vein, you'll slice the shrimp almost all the way through and open it up, but then I turn it over, and with a small paring knife, just score the underside of the shrimp. You're not cutting all the way through. You just want to score that little membrane there, that skin, if you will, so the shrimps don't curl up. It gives you better uniformity cooking, better plate presentation. But if you butterfly them without doing that, they still will tend to curl on you. And then the coating isn't staying on evenly. It, you know, as soon as it hits the pan, it curls up, doesn't cook evenly. So we like to do that technique for shrimp. And again, shrimp will cook quickly, make your sauce, and then you don't have to really cook them further in the oven. I would use a fairly large shrimp, nothing less than a 16 to 20 per pound, and a U15 might even be better. It's just less pieces to handle. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back. I'm going to make a dish with lobster. Another specialty we made years ago, lobster Angelina, employing the Francais technique. Chef Bill's Table.
you're taking money somewhere else.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
Table here, Chef Bill's table, winding down another hour. So now we've taken you, we've got the francais, the simple artichoke or zucchini, and then we graduate to some other proteins besides chicken, some veal or pork, seafood, shrimp, and now this one, we called it lobster Angelina. Again, in the 80s, I worked in a nice Italian restaurant, still open, by the way, Giovanna's in Plainfield. And this was based on a recipe I saw in Gene Leone's cookbook. I remember Mama Leone's, well, his son Gene, he had a small cookbook, some of the recipes used at the restaurant. And it was kind of called, you know, lobster and Madeira sauce or something like that. So I looked, you know, lobster, okay, let's see what's going on. And it turned out to be an egg-battered lobster dish with a Madeira sauce instead of white wine and a little bit of basil and served over pasta. And, again, something that many Italians would not favor is throwing a little grated cheese in there. But in America. You know, and if it tastes good, do it. In this case, the that slight sweetness of the Madeira, you know, you want a little bit of salt to offset it. Anyway, you know, we're in America, and Americans do like cheese with things. And in this dish, again, it does work. Now, the lobster for this, initially, we just used cooked lobster meat. The nice thing about Maine lobster, and it wasn't the warm water tails or Brazilian or, you know, I guess crayfish tails would be okay for this, although they're a little small. But the North American lobster, whether from this side of the pond or the other side, North American lobster with the claws is the best. It reheats well, and in this case, you're just coating it with egg, and you're not really cooking it a lot more. So you have your tail meat, and you can cut the tail after you've boiled your lobster. Of course, it's hard to take the raw meat out of lobster. The tail you can get, but not your claw and knuckle meat. So you need to have cooked lobster, and you take the tail and slice it into medallions. You have the claws. Try to keep the knuckles in big pieces. Alternately, you could use raw lobster tail. And I say early on when I did this dish, I used cooked lobster meat, and then later kind of adapted it once we could get good North American, Canadian lobster tails. You don't have to do that par cooking of the lobster, although either one works. But the lobster meat, cooked lobster meat, is fine. If you're using a lobster tail, we take the tail out of the shell. Of course, you split the tail through the shell, pull out the tail meat, and here we do the same kind of thing that we did with the shrimp. That red side of the lobster tail meat, you want to take a knife, and I just cut it the length of the tail, just kind of cut through that membrane so the lobster tail doesn't curl up when we cook it. And it also adds to the surface area, the presentation. You butterfly it through so you've got a nice, even cooking going on. So whether you're using the cooked lobster pieces or the tail, we do the same thing. We're going to dredge in flour and dip in the beaten egg. Now, you'll need Madeira on hand. I guess you could probably substitute a dry Marsala if you want. I used to use a rainwater Madeira, but Madeira is another fortified wine. Kind of tastes like sherry from the island of Madeira, but very refined. Nice. The advantage to it, you don't have to cook it out too much. Where your table wines, you need to reduce and cook a little bit. You know, your Marsalas, Madeiras, things like that, you don't need to reduce them as much. They're already nice and refined. We'll need some fresh basil and some whole butter and a little grated cheese. Parmesan is fine, or a mild Asiago. You don't need anything too strong for this. And also we need pasta, and we call it Angelina. We used angel hair pasta, and Angelina was my buddy whose sister owned the place, Giovanna, who was her mother's name, so we kind of put Angie on the menu there. She was making the pasta back there anyway, so we have angel hair pasta, which is very quick to cook, so you're going to need some water boiling for that. Now, you have your lobster meat. If you're using the cooked pieces, this dish goes together pretty quickly. You've got to flour and egg the lobster meat, have your olive oil. I would use olive oil for this one, and then you finish with the whole butter. You're just going to brown the egg-battered lobster meat. Again, you don't have to cook it. You're just browning the egg on the outside. And then what we would do is deglaze. You'd have a little, you could do a little shallots. You could put a little minced garlic if you like in this. It's not a bad thing. Deglaze. You could have the lobster, if you're doing one or two portions, stay right in the pan for this. You're going to add a little bit of Madeira. You don't need much. And some whole butter and your fresh basil. And you just swirl it to the butter melts. Meantime, you've cooked your angel hair or spaghetti if you want to, if you want something a little easier to handle. Spaghetti, of course, takes a little bit longer unless you're using fresh. But then you'll just drain your pasta and kind of toss it with this lobster, basil, Madeira butter and mix it together. It really comes out nicely. Now with lobster tail, will take a little bit longer cooking. Again, you can let it finish in the sauce, but in that case, you would take your pasta, and I would just toss the pasta with the sauce and present the lobster tail on top. So either way, whether you use the cooked lobster meat or the lobster tail, but that basil, Madeira, a little parsley also in there, really is a unique flavor. I know it's a favorite. My wife loved it. She have it all the time. Had a craving for it. It was like that once a week thing, you know. It's and again with the sauces, with the Francais sauce, when you get comfortable with it, you can garnish it. You could add capers to that, and it would be something more along the line of a piccata dish that you'll see in restaurants. Diced roasted peppers would go well, and, you know, if you still have some good fresh tomatoes, olives would go in there. There's many ways to play around with it, but you have the technique of cooking a la Francais in the egg batter, which is very quick, and then this pan sauce that's kind of like a beurre blanc, but not really, not as involved as that. It just goes with many things. It's nice and light. Again, if you can't have the butter, you could always use a little bit of olive oil. You need that little bit of fat to kind of spread the flavor around. I wouldn't just use wine and broth. I would add a little olive oil. If you want to thicken it, again, a little cornstarch and water. There's many ways to take this, but as a quick meal and one that you'll never get tired of, try this alla Francaise, Francesa, Indorato, whichever one you want to call it. Easy cooking, right? For those of us that are time challenged. We've got a dust start now. We're heading out. Another hour's come to close. We'll next week, well, 2 weeks from now, probably, Pete will be here. We'll talk about some fall spices. And I wish you all to have a good week. Chef Bill signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The travel ban's expanding. President Trump adding three countries to the new travel ban. We get the update from correspondent Joe Gomez.
The executive order President Trump issued adds North Korea, Venezuela, and Chad to five mostly Muslim nations covered by an order that was about to expire. Countries still restricted are Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. Sudan was taken away from the new list. The new executive order includes specific and varying degrees of restrictions for people from each country.
President Trump again blasting NFL players for kneeling during the national anthem in a series of tweets this morning. He says the NFL must respect the flag and the anthem, and he says the issue of kneeling has nothing to do with race, but it's about respect for the nation. Many NFL teams have issued statements condemning the president's remarks. This is USA Radio News.
Good news, everyone. Futurama is back in an all-new episode that's available for audio download or listening today. And it's free. The new episode, created by the original Futurama team, came to life after they were reunited to create new content for Jam City's mobile game, Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow. Executive producer David X. Cohen says the cast had a great time creating both the video game and the 42-minute-long podcast episode.
It's weird, you know. Several years go by and you don't make an episode of Futurama and you get a little nervous, like, can we still do this? And then everybody just kind of locks into work mode again and it feels like old times. We have the whole original crew back together for this. We have all original writers from the show. We have the original animators and the entire cast of the show.
Fans of the show will find the podcast on sites including Nerdist.com and YouTube. The Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow game is also free and available for mobile devices via the App Store and Google Play.
A Senate committee is to consider the latest Republican health care